we're going to be studying tonight the Sermon on the Mount. It's a study we've been at for quite a while where Jesus is preaching this incredible sermon. And it covers so many different categories and issues in our life. And tonight we arrive on one that really every one of us can relate to, as we saw worry in our life. I saw an interview once that opened my eyes to the significance of worry in all of us. The interview that I saw was with a homeless person. And this homeless person is living on the streets of New York, and they're fairly articulate for a homeless person. And in the interview, they asked this homeless person, "Do you have any worries?" And I fully expected to hear a resounding no. I mean, this man's living on the street. He has absolutely no responsibilities in life. I expected to hear, "Oh, I have no job to worry about. I have no finances, your number one thing to worry about. I have no love life to give me stress. I have no conception of a world fighting with each other. I have no responsibilities at all." That's what I expected to hear. Well, I was completely wrong. Because when this homeless man was asked if he had any worries, he shot back, "Yes, I have worries. I worry about my friends who are lying right here next to me. I worry about the warmth that we need to have and how extreme the weather's going to get. I worry about being asked to get up and move along by authorities. And I worry about my next meal and a lot more than that." After that interview, I realized that no matter who we are or how we live, we are going to deal with the issue of worry and anxiety. Jesus was fully aware of this, so he covered it in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25, we're going to read 9 verses. "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Well, look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work to make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Friends, with these 10 verses, Jesus has said a mouthful. Now, the command is really pretty easy to grasp. His command, Jesus does not want us to worry. He does not want us to stress. He does not want us to live with anxiety over all the issues that we have pervading our lives. And I think we all get that much of what he's saying. We get that. But it's really the action steps that he lays out, the action steps that he proposes that will actually cause us to not worry. That's where we tend to struggle. See, Jesus says, worry dominates the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. So seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now, right there, that's really 3 action steps that Jesus has laid out for the worrier. Know God has it under control, focus on God's agenda, and commit to God's truth. So I want to unpack these over the time we have, and unpack these as best as we can. And although this is by no means an exhaustive session on overcoming every anxiety in your life, I believe that God's word will certainly point us down the road to health and point us down the road to victory. Okay, first, Jesus says this: your heavenly Father already knows your needs. We'll make that our top category on your outlines. Knowing God has it under control. Under that, I want to say this. Gang, don't jump to the conclusion that you are powerless. When worry hits you, when anxiety comes your way, do not jump to the conclusion that you're powerless. What makes worry so difficult is that we often feel that we're at somebody else's mercy, or that we have no control over what is happening. We feel powerless, and that we have no choices, no options, nothing in front of us. And that, gang, is simply not the case. In every single situation you face, you have choices. Now, that does not mean they are easy choices. That does not mean they are comfortable choices. But they are choices nonetheless. And the Word of God tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. With the trial that God will send to us, He will also provide a way out so that we will be able to endure it. Whatever God sends our way, He is offering us a way out. There is a choice. There is a door. There is an action He wants us to do to find our way out. In every situation, we have choices. I had someone come to my house a while back, and they were highly worried. They were highly worried because they didn't believe they were going to be able to stay in their home. They thought they were going to get evicted from their home. This person was divorced, and they were still living in the home that they had had when they had a full family and two incomes. But as time went on, the income didn't match the mortgage payment. So stress set in. And this person would sit down in the morning and have their morning coffee, and they would open their Bible and read it every day and follow Jesus, and they would come to this and know that don't worry about everyday life. Don't worry whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food or your body or your clothing or your mortgage for that matter? And before you could take that first sip of coffee, this person would say, well, God, I'm reading your word, and here's the deal. I have a $2,500 mortgage payment that's late, and I have a total of $78 in my checking account. So I'm trying not to worry, but what do you want me to do? Well, as this person sat there crying in my office, they didn't see any choices to that question. But the truth is, there were a lot of choices for that person. Choices like, are you going to determine what a budget would be for you and live by it? Choices like, are you open and honest about your financial reality? Choices like, is it possible to take in a boarder and have them raise your income? Is it possible to get another work income coming in? And then the one that they ultimately decided, I'll take you right to the end of the story, the one they ultimately decided on, the choice they had, was downsizing to a different home. Gang, when worry hits you in the gut, never jump to the conclusion that you are powerless. It's not what the Bible tells us. We have a promise from God that there is a way that He has provided for us to get through that thing. Jesus says, don't worry, because that's a waste of time. That's a waste of your energy. Identifying choices is a much better and much more productive thing to do. Like I said, there are always choices. They may not be the first choice or the most happy choice that you can think of, like downsizing and going to a home you could afford, but that was the choice God had for that person. Next, under this section, after always having choices, add this to letter B. In every situation, you have God. You know, I used to say this a lot. I was like, I don't know how people live today and walk through the world without God. I mean, without believing that God is in control and that God sees everything and that He's promised to bring everything to His chosen conclusion, without that, I'd be a crazy person, and I would be bouncing off the walls, and I would be screaming at the sky. Well, the reason, like I said, I don't really say that much anymore is because I don't have to wonder how people live without God. I know how they do it. They're crazy people, bouncing off the walls, yelling at the sky, because they don't have God. You see, without God, without Him as your hope, without God as your confidence, we worry. We worry, and worry will lead us to anxiety, and anxiety will lead us to dysfunction, and dysfunction will lead us to a life of chaos. But with God, we have His reassurance that He will, number one, provide for our needs, and number two, use His Spirit to give us peace of mind that He will finish our story and He will finish mankind's story just as He has laid out in His written word. I was asked recently, hey Drew, do you worry about some madman blowing up the world with a nuclear bomb? Do you worry about that? You think that's how the world's gonna end? And I said, no, I don't worry about that at all. I said, the Bible says that we're going to be living life normally. We're just going to be going along normally. Jesus is going to come into the sky, and He's going to take all the believers off the earth. The earth will then go through a tribulation period of supernatural sufferings that you don't even want to consider how horrible they are. Then there's going to be a 1,000-year utopia where Jesus will reign on the earth. Then Jesus is going to get rid of Satan. And then God's going to burn the earth, and then He's going to reform it into a new earth and a new heaven where all believers will live with Him. So no, I don't worry about somebody thinking they're going to blow it up with a nuclear bomb. I know what's going to happen, and ain't it. That's not how it's written. I have God. I have God through the good, and I have Him through the bad. And He says, Drew, don't worry. He has promised to provide if I seek His will first. And besides His promise here in Matthew chapter 6 to provide, God has promised me over 7,000 more times, 7,000 plus other promises of God in the Bible. And God will carry all those promises out. I like having 7,000 plus promises of good. I like having 7,000 plus promises that I got it under control. He does. But without God, whew, that 7,000 plus goes to zero. I got nothing. But with God, I have Him telling me 7,000 plus times, Drew, you're going to be all right. Gang, we have choices. And we have God. That alone, just the first part of this Jesus' three steps, the first part should do a lot in dissolving our worry. But Jesus goes further. After knowing that we have choices and after knowing that we have God, Jesus tells us this: seek the kingdom of God above all else. Category two is that. Focus on God's agenda. Gang, we all want things to happen the way we want them to happen. And when we do not see things going the way we want, we stress about that. We get anxiety because it ain't going the way I want it to go. And we worry that it ain't going the way I want it to go because I know best how I want it to go. Let's look at this in terms of the people we love, the people that we care about, and the people we are associated with. Let's look at those people and how they cause us worry. Gang, if we've said it once, we've said it 100 times here. Your life is not just about you. You will influence others, and others will influence you. Worry hits us right in the gut. When we try to influence someone else towards good, and they refuse to embrace it. We want them to do a good thing. We want them to go to what's healthy. We want them to go to what's functional, but they don't do it, and we worry about them. We see people, friends, people we love, filling their minds with garbage, but they don't hear our warnings to not do it. We see some of our friends, family, and loved ones wasting their time, wasting their love, wasting their money, wasting their future, and we worry about that for them. We witness bad judgment that will be engraved on that person's life story. that they will so powerfully regret later in the future. And our stomach is tied up as knots over it. This worrying over people's actions, this worrying over other people's agendas for their life will overpower our minds and cause a paralysis in us that's worse than if we were worrying about ourselves. The reason for that kind of anxiety and why your stomach gets in those kind of knots is this. We cross over a line into unhealthiness. We cross over a line into unhealth when we try to control others' actions and agendas. Friends, this is important to grab hold of, because when we fall into this pothole, and it is a deep pothole of wanting other people to do what we want them to do, what they should do, what God wants them to do, when we fall into the pothole of wanting them to do that, and not taking the solution that we want from them, we get into an unhealthy place. We think when we change their actions, or when we, if we can get them to accept the agenda that we think is best for them, that's when our worry will end. And that's when our hearts will find rest. But that, gang, is a lie. And it's a pothole that you fall into. And it's a pothole that you will sit at the bottom of for a very, very long time. And you will sit there frustrated, unhealthy, with agita. Why? Because we cross over the line into unhealthiness when we try to control the actions and agendas of others. Now, the truth that will set us free, now, how the solution of this, the thing that will slide the ladder down to you in the bottom of that pothole, is knowing this. Freedom, my friends, is defined as the privilege of choices. Freedom is the privilege of choices. Some people may be responsible with the choices they make, and some may not. I say that again. Freedom is defined as the privilege of choices. The truth is, some people may be responsible in those choices, some may not. If you live thinking you have some kind of responsibility or some kind of capacity to direct people's choices and agendas, if you think you have some kind of ownership ability to make the good happen in others, then you will worry that you're not doing enough to make it happen. And that, friends, will usher in unhealthiness into our lives like a whirlwind. Spouses knowingly making destructive choices. Friends rushing headlong into harm's way. Children arguing and fighting to bring bad into their life. And what do we do with that? We worry about it. We get sick about it. We get unhealthy about it. Jesus says, in times like these, we must go back to category one and stand firm on the promise we always have God. God is the only one who can coerce and force someone's agenda and someone's choices. Planting our feet solidly on this reality is the first thing we must do in these anxious situations. Give it to God and keep giving it to Him. Believe me, He loves that person way more than you do. He died for them. You haven't. So if God is being patient with that person, what good can possibly come of you being impatient with them? If God is not forcing their choices to change, how in the world do you think you can force different choices to be made by them? And if God is allowing them to live their agenda in order for them to see the negative results, then we had better not work against God and try to supersede Him by trying to prevent that. Dr. Les Carter says this, and I like this. The best way to feel out of control is to try to control too much. The best way to feel out of control is to try to control too much or try to control something you don't own. Friends, God has an agenda. His agenda does not leave anybody out. God's agenda includes everyone on the face of the earth. He loved the whole world. He counts the hairs on everyone's head. And he knows the days that are assigned to everyone. When it comes to worry, Jesus says, your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So seek the kingdom of God above all else. He's saying, focus on God's agenda. And then the final thing that we are asked to do, Jesus says, live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. This is talking about committing to God's truth. When Jesus says live righteously, he is saying this, do the right thing. Do the righteous thing. Do the right thing. Do what God has shown you what you're supposed to do. Adopt God's standards as your standards. And let God's principles be the principles that you live by. God calls us to live in the reality of the moment. Friends, it would be nice to think everyone will embrace Jesus and will make healthy, wholesome choices in their lives. It would be nice. It would be nice if everyone had good judgment and fled from harmful places, harmful people, and harmful practices. It would be nice if everybody fled from that. It would be nice if sin were not the condition our hearts were born in. And it would be nice if sin's lure and sin's siren song were not so obvious and easily avoidable. It would be nice, but none of that would be the truth that God has shown us. Truth, no matter how ugly it is promised to set us free. And Jesus' final action step to avoid worry is to do the right thing. Get yourself right. Don't try to get somebody else right. Jesus didn't tell, this command is, have other people live righteously. He said, you live righteously. You do the right thing. Right yourself. Don't try to right somebody else. People, gang, are going to disappoint us. But God doesn't want us to be the one doing the disappointing. He wants us to live rightly. Plans will fail. People will make plans and they will fail. God wants you and I to follow his plan, and it will never fail. Family and friends can be devious, they can be manipulative. But God wants you and I to be the ones who are honest and trustworthy. Loved ones can be rejecting, they could be insensitive, but Jesus says, I want you to live righteously. I want you to care about others. I want you to receive people. I want you to receive them like I received you. Gang, it's really all about where we put our faith. For those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ to forgive their sins and procure their eternal destiny, we did that because we saw that there was no other way to heaven. There was no other way. We came to that conclusion. We saw that no matter what, we had no control over removing our sins, no control over securing our admittance into heaven. So we placed our faith in Jesus Christ's control. But here, in our lives on earth, in the choices of where we live, what job I should take, how we treat our health, raising our kids, deciding our future, building our relationships, and our actual behavior. In these areas, somehow we're convinced that although we could do none of that other stuff, we're convinced we have ownership in these areas. We think we do the deciding in these areas. Jesus is saying that's not the case. Jesus says, you are not the builder. You are not the designer of how to do all this. God says, I am the designer. I am the builder. And what he's asking you and me to do is to be the worker, to be the craftsman, to be the journeyman. He wants us to live the life, become skilled at following God, become skilled at knowing what God would do and doing that, live righteously. And God says, while you do that, I have total control over all the rest. I'm taking care of all of it. Don't worry. Your heavenly Father already knows what you need. He knows. He's got it under control. Seek the kingdom of God first. Want what God wants. Want to promote his agenda. And live righteously. And he will give you everything you need, is Jesus' promise. I'm going to ask the band, the worship leaders, to come back. And as they do, prepare your hearts as we're going to close our night with a couple of worship songs, talking to God. You know, we've defined sin. If you want to know what the definition of sin is anything other than what God wants. Anything other than what God wants. Doesn't have to be the total opposite of what God wants. It's anything other than what God wants. And God doesn't want us to live lives of worry. So if we're worrying, that's other than what God wants. Say, Lord, you need to help me with this. I need to get this out of my life. I need to continue to see that you have it under control. I need to continue to see that I am to seek your agenda. Focus on me changing. Focus on me living righteously, not the friends, not the girlfriend, the boyfriend, the husband, the wife, the family members. I can't focus on them doing what they're supposed to do. I have no ownership there. But Jesus says, you become a skilled journeyman at following me and living the life I lived when I walked on the earth. And when you do, the worry disappears. God has it under control. And we just do what he calls us to do each and every day. Would you stand and worship with us? We need you. You left this incredible sermon for us of how to find life to the full. And we realize we can't do it because we don't have the power. Thank you for leaving us the promise that when we're weak, you're strong. We don't have any ownership. Instead, you own it all. We gave it to you at the cross. Help us to live that way. Help us to yield to the spirit that you put into our heart, this new conscience, this new heart, not of stone, but of flesh. Help us to yield to it. Let us be people who are on the spectrum of how careful and how cautious we are with our Christian life. Let us be on the spectrum that is intensely careful, not mildly or a little bit. We're not careful at all. Help us when worry hits to leave it here in Matthew 6, to bring it to you, to know that we have choices and you will lead us through those choices. You show us what we're to do. And that you are right there by our side. You have it under control. You know what you want to accomplish. And that we want, teach our hearts to want what you want for us, your agenda. Help us to not stress about the people that we want to see living a way that we want to see them living and know that they are your children, not our children. You have it under control. And help us to always remember, we gave our life to you. Show us how to live it. Give us the power through the Holy Spirit to do it and make us brave to make the tough choices that would lead to health, not unhealth. And help us most of all not to worry that you have it under control. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. We'll see you next week, 7 o'clock.